Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Good morning. Hope your morning's going well. My name is Kurt Chun, and I'm the new old minister that the church is brought on here. We taught the church in January, asked, would we like to have a minister to come on to try to help with involvement within the congregation, help involvement within the community, help with maybe helping the church to grow as well as here as well. And when I came and talked with the elders about this, we all agreed together this might be a good thing to do together. And so I was still committed to the job I was in at the time, and so it took till May here to get here. But we're here now in our work together. So there's a fundamental question I want to ask you this morning, or a fundamental question you may be having. And the question is going to be, what's a chun? Years ago when we were here, we'd gone for 2 years to Abilene, Texas, when I was working at ACU and on my degree there. And when I was there, we moved back. Joan Foster, who's no longer a member of this congregation, she's over at Johnson Street. Somebody said to Joan Foster, the chuns are coming back. And she said, what's a chun? Because she didn't know who we were. What's a chun? So let me tell you a little bit about what a chun is, and we'll talk about this ministry we have. Hopefully, we're going to be working on together. At the beginning, that's when I first started attending worship services, okay? This was at the Santa Rita Church of Christ, which was on the corner of Colorado and Jackson Street in the old auditorium. That's not exactly me, but that's kind of how I looked at the time, because my mother was a faithful member of the church, and so she brought me to church. She not only brought me to church, but my siblings as well. So we started off there with this congregation years and years ago. That's the four siblings in the family. So Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, she got the four kids to church. My father was not a member of the church, so she's basically spiritually a single mom doing all this. And I know what you may be thinking now, what a cute kid, right? Now, I'm not talking about her. I'm not talking about him. I'm sure not talking about Jeff. I'm talking about this kid, the good kid, okay? He's the one that we're focusing in on today. Anyway, so she brought us to church, and we were a military family. My father was in the military, Air Force, so we moved around a lot. When I was in San Antonio, I became a member of the church, was baptized in the MacArthur Park Church of Christ there. And then when my father retired from the military and moved back to San Angelo, then I attended what was then Colorado and Jackson congregation at the time. Also did air conditioning and refrigeration work. And so again, I've got the halo there. That's still me. Air conditioning and refrigeration work, as I worked with Air Dynamics, John Hill, and his air conditioning work there. And while I did that at the time, I was working with this congregation, not as a youth minister necessarily, but Scott Patterson and I worked with a youth group here. And we did the puppet ministry. We had a newsletter where we lampooned Paul a lot. And we enjoyed doing that work in the congregation. We tried to find, we had our puppet ministry every other Sunday afternoon for the children of the congregation before worship services. We tried to find puppets that would kind of match a person's personality. So we had this really grumpy puppet that was in a trash can that came up, and that puppet was Todd Deere. It kind of still matches his personality today. Todd's still kind of that grumpy kind of puppet kind of guy today. Anyway, we did that until Eddie Howard came and blessed us with a youth minister that could take this on full-time at the time. Well, at this congregation, I met my wife, Deborah, and so Deborah and I were married at Colorado and Jackson. You may notice the minister in the back of the congregation who performed the ceremony at the time. Paul did this. Well, we moved away to Abilene Christian to work on my master's in marriage and family therapy. And when we finished that, came back to this congregation, and we worked here for about 16 years doing marriage and family therapy and education work here. I wanted to get to where I could work on the other side of the problems, maybe teach in a way, in a setting that may prevent some of the problems I saw coming into my office. And so I began teaching in college. We moved to Conroe, Texas, well, a little south of Conroe, Texas, and I taught at the Lone Star College in the Woodlands, psychology and sociology there. After 3 years, we moved to Waco, Texas, and taught at McLennan Community College. And again, I taught psychology, so I would wear snakes and things when I taught psychology. And then also got to teach for Texas Tech University as a part of their university center there. So that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years, and now back here working with this congregation in the involvement ministry. Well, with this, and I have been involved in VBS. Here at the VBS, I was a shepherd, but I've kind of changed. The last VBS I was involved with, I got to be a pharaoh, so in VBS. All right, so this is the ministry of involvement. This is what the elders would like to do and want to implement at the congregation. So today's just kind of an overview of what we're going to be looking at and working on. And, of course, I'm going to need your help in doing this overall. So that's the mission statement. There's several of them. The one that was just read was about this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, where the purpose of the church, the ministers, the elders, the deacons basically, is to prepare people for works of service. We're to be active in the kingdom of God. It's one thing to believe in Christ. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to do something with your faith. And that doing something with a faith is what we're called to do. So another mission statement would be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul writes about his, in defense of his gospel, in defense of his preaching, and says basically, we're Christ ambassadors as though God were making his appeal to us. Each one of us are also God's ambassador. We're making Christ's appeal. God's using us to make the appeal to the world through us. Isaiah chapter 61 also has this passage. Now, when Isaiah wrote this, it was to be a passage predicting what would happen when Jesus came. It was a prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on, and I'm going to change the words from me to us, because this applies to us as well. The Spirit of the Lord is on us, because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn. That's what we're called to do. Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4, the writer says this. He says, Jesus is going to Nazareth in the city he'd been brought up with on the Sabbath day. In verse 17, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, and it's the passage right there. Jesus then rolls up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He was the fulfillment of that. Not only that was he the fulfillment of the time, it was the question that John asked, John the Baptist. John is in prison for his statements and confronting the king about his adulterous relationship. And in Matthew chapter 11, from jail, John has baptized Jesus, but he's also, you're in jail, and you're kind of desperate. And in that desperate situation in jail, he asks his disciples, when he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Is there somebody else who's going to come? Because John's had some doubts. Jesus says these words, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Jesus basically quoted in other ways this passage to say, yes, I am the one who's to come. Well, that passage applied to Jesus, but I believe it applies to us as Christians today, that we also are appointed to do these very things, to help the world around us, to care for the world around us, and to proclaim the gospel to the world. And when we do that, we're proclaiming the Lord's favor, that God loves you and that there is a day coming of judgment as well. Well, believers should see evidence of our faith in our lives. Paul preaching, this is before King Agrippa, when he was called, why are you preaching what you're preaching? Paul said, well, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by deeds. So Paul emphasized to Agrippa, people should be turning to God, but we'll know it by what they do, by their deeds. Also, it's the same thing John the Baptist taught in John chapter 3, produce fruit when they came to him in keeping with your repentance. You say you're changing, show it. Show me what you're doing. Show God what you're doing with your faith. Same as what James taught in James chapter 2 in the familiar passage when he says, what good is it, my brothers, sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? The answer is obviously no. Our faith ought to be evidenced by things that we do in our lives as well. So here's four aspects of what we're going to be working on in this ministry, four aspects that are going on now, but we're going to develop and continue to enhance in our work. Worship services, connection groups, Bible center classes, and service opportunities. So we'll start off first with this four-part approach with our dynamic worship. Here's what we're hoping will continue to happen from what we already do and continue to enhance in our worship services. And the goals are this, for people who are Christians to worship God and thank Him. Can we ever thank Him enough? No. No. We come together on Sundays to say, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Our worship service needs to continue to reflect that attitude and encourage us to say thank you to God for what He's done. Also, to give strength for next week's challenges. I promise you between now and next Sunday, you're going to be confronted with things. I don't know what they may be. There may be different things than I'm confronted with, but you're going to have challenges in your life. We're hoping that something happens this morning that you get some strength, some hope, some confidence that will help you with this week's challenges. That's what the worship service is, one of the things it should do for us as well. Additionally, for believers, to be assured of our hope. There's a lot of things that cause us to have doubts in our lives, but one thing we ought to be secure with is our relationship with God and have a hope that knowing that no matter what goes on, not only do all good things work together for those who love the Lord, but my eternal salvation is secure. I'm going to go to heaven, and we need to be assured of that when we come together and worship together. Now, I'm not saying once saved, always saved, but I am saying as believers, we talked about this morning in our Bible class, as we reflected back on 1 John chapter 1, that as long as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and His blood cleanses us from our sins. We ought to be getting up every morning and going to bed every evening with a confidence that we're saved, and our worship services should reassure us of the fact that our salvation is secure in Christ. No one can take Him. No one can take us out of His hand. And to be convicted and challenged. We want to have sermons and lessons and experiences in our worship services that cause us to say, how can I grow? How can I be different? What do I need to do differently in my life to become more like Jesus and walk more with Him? So that's what's hopefully happening with our services and will happen in the future with our services for believers. Well, for those who visit our services for non-believers, when we leave services, we're hoping this happens. I'm empowered for the week, which I said are a little earlier, and that we're glad that we were here. This is a quote from Marv Levy. Marv Levy was the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and if you remember the Buffalo Bills, the Cowboys stomped him a couple of times. It was really good in the Super Bowl. But anyway, he's the coach of the Buffalo Bills. For the 4 years, they go to the Super Bowl each year. But Marv Levy said this to his team in the huddle, where would you rather be than right here, right now? Well, if you're at the apex of the National Football League and you're playing in the Super Bowl, that's where you want to be. That's what you've worked for all year. That's what you train for. And that's what he's trying to emphasize with him. Hopefully for us as believers, when we come together on Sunday mornings, the answer to the question, we'd say the same thing. Where would we rather be right here than right now on Sundays? That's what we hope will continue to engender within us, that we have that confidence and that hope and that enjoyment and that sense of this is where we're supposed to be. This is the good place to be. Well, for non-believers, for people who visit our services who are not Christians, we're hoping they see an example of what true worship is like. This is how God calls us to worship Him. And the way we do this, the communion service we take, the way we sing our songs, the prayers, this is how we worship. And that be an example to those who do not know Christ yet. Also an atmosphere of love and caring, that if a visitor comes to a worship service, they say, these people love each other, and they sure were a friendly bunch. They cared about me. They asked my name. They tried to interact a little bit with me. They're interested in who I was, that they sense that and feel that because of how we react and what we do with them as well. And a faith place, if they're searching, to find meaning and hope, because the world's lost. Many of them know that they're lost. They just don't know what they're searching for, where to find meaning. We're hoping when they come to our services, they'll find some meaning and hope and a place maybe to come to know who God is and then become a Christian themselves. So that's our worship service. The second part of our four-part approach is connection groups. And I'm just using this term. We'll call it other things. You've had listening groups this spring that have met together. But these connection groups will be doing these kinds of things. Small groups where there's fellowship for prayer, for Bible study, as well as just hospitality and fellowship. It doesn't always have to be Bible study, just hanging out and being with each other and enjoying each other's company, and acts of service that we may do together as a group. When we talk about our connection groups, some possible examples may be these, and we'll flesh this out and work on this as we go along these next several months. But time travelers for maybe senior adults. It could be youth group that Jason does through our fourth grade through our high school. It could be young marrieds and families that get together. Obviously, we have a college class now and a young singles group that gets together. So those are just some possible groupings of our connection groups. They don't necessarily have to be age-based. They can be open to anybody. And some possible things the groups may do, again, maybe things like going to parks with the kids and sharing our time together with our families with kids, or sports activities they may playing a softball game or volleyball. Senior groups can also plan, for instance, maybe some trips that they may take, as well as lunches out together overall. So connection groups to spend time with one another. The third aspect, first was dynamic worship, second is connection group, third is service to one another and service to the community. So when we mention this is some of the things we're talking about. We should be known, as we've said, from what the Bible's talked about, by our fruits. If somebody hears that you're a member of the Southgate Church of Christ, they're like, oh, you're the people who do X, Y, or Z. We have a reputation. We have a name. We have a presence in the community. We're known by what we do and what we do for others in the community. So we want to develop and encourage one another to develop our talents and ways of serving within the body of Christ here. So to one another, be in touch with the needs of the members. Be in touch with each other, what's going on in our lives, what's happening with us. It could be these kind of examples. This is already going on now, but we want to continue to enhance and develop this. So if somebody's sick, somebody's looking out for them. There's meals maybe provided if they need that. Older members may have some need for transportation to the doctor, to the dentist, to some other kind of appointments. They may have a need for meals as well, or those who are experiencing losses in a time of deep grief. Going on, and the community. With the community, we're saying it could be participating in some charitable causes. That could be maybe doing walks together, for Alzheimer's walks together, because a lot of us have had families that have suffered with Alzheimer's disease. So as a congregation, we may support that community effort to say, we want to stamp out Alzheimer's, and here's a group from Southgate who's out there walking and raising funds for the Alzheimer's group, for instance. Could be food banks, shelters, and prison ministry. Strengthen ties with Rush Street Ministry that Johnson Street administers. And we have a relationship with them already, but strengthening those ties with that group. And continuing service to the children's homes we already are associated with and affiliated with. So we're finding ways then, and we'll work on finding ways to connect more with our neighbors in our that we live with, and our community in San Angelo and outlying areas overall. So I mentioned this already, making our presence felt. This is not in a self-promotion way. We're not doing it to bring any glory to us. We're doing it to bring glory to God. And because we're God's followers, this is what we do. And in the community, they know those are people who love God. This is what they're doing and involved with overall. I saw this quote, and I just wanted to throw it in here from another individual who said this: until the church finds a way to be radically kinder and more compassionate than the world at large, we tell outsiders they're better off on their own. And the truth is, many times they are. It's easy for us to get so self-focused into just taking care of ourselves or just focusing on this only that we're not out there sharing and taking care of people's needs. Remember, we had that quote from Jesus where what he said are about Jesus in Isaiah 61, part of the ministry is service out as well. And I think that's what God calls us to, is to be serving out, not just serving ourselves overall. The overall goals are these then with the service to the community. Connect us with existing ministries we have already going on. This church is well known for doing things already in the community and things we have going on in our association with one another. We want to continue to connect with those ministries and do that, and to encourage us one another to say yes. When you're asked to serve, how can I serve? And we'll say that again in a few moments. What can I do to be a part of this congregation and produce fruits and produce actions and be active in my faith? And we can be most fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Additionally, to emphasize that all of us are ministers. There's some individuals who have some particular title of being a minister, and there's a particular minister, particular position of minister within the church. But all of us are ministers in terms of that sense of spreading the gospel and being an influence for Christ in the world. And lastly, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 both emphasize that the bodies put together in these two familiar passages, that God's put us together in such a way that all the aspects of the body need to be working together. One part's not more important than the other. All parts are necessary, and we should be working together to make the body of Christ function and work. So that's our goals with our connections that we have. And lastly, as we finish this part off and go to our fourth part, it is our response to what God's done for us. This is what should naturally be occurring. If you love, we love because he loved us. We serve because he's rescued us from sin, and he's given us a tremendous hope. Why would we not want to serve him? It should be a natural response of gratitude for what he's done for us. We want to serve him. So that's what this is hopefully encouraging all of us to recognize and to be a part of and to do. As I said, 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. Well, the God's view of service is this. When the master comes, as Jesus, this is his last week of, matter of fact, this is like about 2 days before he's going to be betrayed and then crucified. He tells his followers, spends a lot of time talking about service in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, he says, when the master comes and finds the servant doing his work, the servant will be blessed. He also says, when he gives the parable of the talents, where the one individual got five, one got two, and one got one, and when the master comes back and finds the servant who's been diligent in using those talents, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Also in chapter 25, Jesus says the same thing in a different kind of way. He gives this example of saying, in the end time, the resurrection, when we stand before God, there's going to be this judgment. And this is the old parallel of the sheep, or the analogy he gives of the sheep and the goats. There will be this separation between those who are going to be saved and those who aren't going to be saved. And one of the things, the questions they're going to ask, God's going to ask is this. And Jesus is going to say, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and away from home, and you invited me into your house. I was without clothes, and you gave me something to wear. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. All those things took place. And the followers are going to say, when did we see you hungry or sick or alone or in prison? He says, I tell you the truth, anything you did for the least of these people here, you also did for me. That's going to be the defining thing. Is our baptism important? Essential. It's essential. You have to be baptized to contact the blood of Christ to be saved. Is our confession of Christ before others essential? He said, it's essential. But is our works of service also essential? I think the gospel's pretty clear that Jesus says it is. And it's going to be one of the things that the judgment we're going to be judged on is, were you faithful in taking care of the needs of other individuals who are there? Here's our fourth part of our four-part approach, and that's Bible-centered classes. We have our Bible classes that are now administered by Milton, by Paul, and with our Bible classes, we want to continue to emphasize what they're already doing now. And the focus of classes, the primary focus, is learning God's Word. It's so important to know what God says. It's so important to know what His Word says, because it's a guideline for our decisions. We don't have committees in our congregation, you know, committees that make decisions for how we're going to worship God or what we're going to do. We don't have some evangelistic board that oversees us. That's not how the church is organized. We're organized by what the Word of God says and how He organizes the church. If we don't know the Word of God, we don't know how to be organized. We don't know how to have our congregation like it should be unless we know what God's Word is. It's our guide for making those decisions. Also guide for making decisions for my own personal life. How should I live? How should I treat my wife? How should I treat my children? How should we treat one another in the body again? Well, how do I deal with my money? All those are guidelines that are in the Word of God, and we need to know the Word of God to be able to fulfill those guidelines and follow those things overall. Also, seeing a connection for God gives us strength, gives us hope, gives us future. So our Bible classes, to continue to be dynamic, that do these things for us overall. That's our primary goal. The secondary goal is that we have stronger ties with other believers in Christ. We come to worship services, we sit with them, we talk with them, we share God's Word together, and it strengthens our ties with one another. The overall goal of the church is this: love God, love others, task completed. That's what this ministry is about, is to encourage us to build on those fundamental parts of what our faith in Christ should be about. So this work seeks to help us answer these two questions. Not that question. What's the color of the flowers in the field? The two questions are, what should I be doing? How can I be connected with this ministry? What are my talents that I can use in the body of Christ? We're going to be working on this the next several months to help you identify your talents. Identify the ways that you can serve. It may be the ways you're serving already. There may be some additional ways of serving that you can do. We want to try to help you identify those, and then secondly, to connect you up with doing that. You may be thinking, well, but it's just a big effort to be here on Sunday mornings. I mean, that's physically a struggle. That's maybe all I can do. Hey, did you know your presence here on Sunday morning is a great thing? You don't know how encouraging that is to other believers when they see you here, knowing that it's been a physical effort for you to get here. That's a great blessing. That may be all the service you give and all the service you can do, but that's a great service to this congregation. It may be prayer. You may say, I can't do much else, but I can pray. Well, we're going to try to have some opportunities for you to know specific things to be praying for. Prayer's powerful. It's our connection with God, and it's how God intervenes in our lives, and so it may be the prayer ministry that you're involved with that helps do that. So it can be simple things. It doesn't have to be action and efforts, although action and efforts are also going to be deeds we're going to be looking at as well. That's what this work of ministry is going to be involved with and going to be doing, and I need your help. And so I'll be soliciting and sending emails and calling you and asking you, and we'll be working together in developing this. But not everybody's ready for this because not everybody's heart is right with God. Not everybody's at a position in their lives where they say, you know, I'm put me to work and let me go, because there's things keeping you from being the person you need to be for Christ already. So this morning we're going to have an invitation in a moment. The invitation's open to you in the pew to pray, to talk with God, to say there's things I need to change in my life and to do that. If there's something in a public way you want prayers for, we're helpful, and we would love to do that for you. And if you'd like to come in a moment and have us pray for you and maybe something changed in your life, we'll be happy to do that. And some of you have not named the name of Christ. Most people in this building are Christians, but there's some of you have never been baptized for the remission of sins. You can't participate fully in this because you've never participated fully in Christ. We have that invitation open now as well. So if you have any of those needs and would like for us and like to come forward at this time, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb God, I come. just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am. Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
I think I want to say just one last thing. I don't know if your mother ever said this to you before. If you jumped off a bridge, your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? Of course, you're thinking, yeah. Anyway, but that's the lesson tonight. If your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too? That's our lesson for tonight.
Thank you, Kurt. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little excited, aren't you? I think we'd be good first. All get in here and get after it and follow this young man and what he is doing as we follow Christ. We have a few things that we need to remind you of. One of them is that our kids got back from camp. I think a couple of them got sore throats and stuff, but they're doing good. And two of them were baptized this week. One is Joshua Mabin. We're going to have a welcome circle for him. And the other is Melissa Livergood. And she's one of them that's homesick, but she'll be here next Sunday, and we'll welcome her into the family too. And so be sure and stay after services for a moment while we welcome Joshua into our family. And also today, we're happy to announce that Karen and Robbie Doughton, they're members of the Church of Christ, have been for many years, and they live here now, and they want to be a part of this congregation. And would the two of you stand up and let everybody take a look at you? There they are back there. You want to hug their neck and welcome them into the family. And we're going to ask Jody, would you come and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving that Karen and Robbie are here?
Sharon and Robbie. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings of life that you give us. We thank you for this church and for the family that's represented here, each one of us being a part of the body of Christ. When we have new ones come our way, such as Roddy and his Mabin, we thank you for them, and we pray, God, that we may be the kind of person that would help them to be the Christians they want to be. Help this church, dear God, to be a bright light in this community, and as we have new members come our way, may we all work together for the cause of Christ. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I said Mabin. It's Melissa. Excuse me. Okay.
Also, I have a couple of good announcements. One is that Bill Watkins, our friend, came through his surgery well, and he is at home now recuperating from his triple bypass. And we had good news this week from the Jenkins. For the first time since the treatments have started, the numbers are going in the right direction. And it's not a big advance, but it is good news, and we're happy about it. We take any good news. So keep them in your prayers. Laura's doing is excited about her possible recovery from this. So let's keep praying. Don't give up on that. Please stay for the welcome circle, okay?
Those attendance cards will be picked up while we're singing this next song. So if you haven't already done so, you can push those out to the outside. We're going to sing together number 781, and then we'll have a dismissal prayer, and we'll move right into our circle for Joshua.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. Oh, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you.
Let's close with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. The beautiful morning, the sunshine shining on your beautiful creation, Father. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and praise you this morning, Father, as you've done so much for us, especially sending your Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary for us. Father, we ask that you be with those that can't be with us for today for whatever reason. Comfort them and be with them and bring them back to us in their time, Father. Father, we ask that you be with us as we go out into your world and to shine your light and let them know of your love, Father, for us. We thank you for all that you do for us and all that you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
A common gift. To the Savior, a common bond, holding us to the Lord, a common strength.
Today, this is a tradition we've had for many, many years. Anyone who is baptized into Christ in this congregation, we just want to celebrate. And so, Joshua, we're gathered here, and And it's sort of a way that we lay hands on you, because everybody's touching everybody else and we're touching you, okay? We love you, and we are so proud of what you've done. We're proud of this decision that you've made, and we're really excited about your future as you grow to be a fine Christian man and bring people to Christ yourself. And we're thrilled that you're here and you've made this decision. You have so much ahead for you, and we thank you for this example of goodness and acceptance of God. We're going to go to our Father in prayer, and we, you know, lately I've been saying that we're going to make a promise to you. This church is not going to do anything on purpose to hurt your growth in Christ. Isn't that right? We're going to do everything we can to help you get to heaven, and we hope you'll do the same thing for us. Will you? Thank you. Thank you. Would you lead us in prayer?
God, we thank you so much for being here with us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son, his great example of love and the way that you want us to live, Father. We thank you so much for these things. We thank you now for Josh and his start to his path of Christianity. We thank you so much for that step of acceptance and the fact that he said yes. And Father, may we all continue to do that in our lives for you, so that others can see how much you love us. Thank you so much. We ask you to bless Joshua and bless us as we continue to encourage him. And we ask that you continue to put people in our paths and our lives in this congregation that will help us to grow closer to you and more strong in your word. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.